there's no reason to take a journey if you're already at the destination. That can sound pretty simple and pretty practical, but why would you want to go somewhere if you're already there? And why in the scriptures would the word of God define so many things for the people of God as a journey? A journey through the wilderness from one place, Egypt, the wilderness, to another place, the land of promise. Why would there be a journey for Rebekah from Haran to Isaac's tent? Why were there journeys throughout the scriptures representing something much, much more deep than some practical physical journey, but a spiritual journey of the heart, of being with the Lord? And does every journey have to do with the basic tenets of being redeemed? No, these are journeys that the people of God, after they were the people of God and not the uncircumcision, took, because there was a need to enter into something greater, something more of Him. And that, man, that journey is part of the reason we're still here, part of the reason we're, you know, willing to go through things and let them be gathered into that journey. And so there's some really simple points, heart steps to help simplify the journey for the hungry, for the desperate, for the one who is extremely needful to get from their place to His. And I just feel like the Lord wants to encourage today, and to just, with the word of God, just through the scriptures, bring comfort and bring encouragement, and maybe even bring some clarity. So let's just look at these verses and be with the Lord in the Spirit. Okay, we're in 1 Kings chapter 10, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her." And then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came, and my eyes saw it, and I beheld that half of it was not told me, and I listened to a lot of teaching tapes. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity all the reports I've ever heard. How blessed are your men! How blessed are your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever, because he loved the Lord, loved Israel, he made you the king to do justice and righteousness." And then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And also the ships of Haran, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a very great number of almug trees and precious stones. And the kings made of the almug tree supports for the house of the Lord, for the king's house, lyres for harps and singers. And trees have come in again. Never as much have been seen as that day. Hallelujah. It goes on, but we're just going to, for sake of time, circle on back to verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. Now, this queen of Sheba, she, number one, is a queen of her own country. Well, she's living in her own place, in her own country, and she's the queen of it. She is in control of her place. She runs that place. She lives in that place. And that place belongs to her. Okay? And she sits in that place called Sheba, the place of which she is the queen, and listens from afar, from a distance, this incredible report after report after report after report about the wisdom and the fame of Solomon and the name of the Lord that Solomon shares. And she listens and listens and listens and listens from afar. And I mean, these teachings, these reports, these messages that come her direction are doing something in her. There is a stirring. There's an honor. There's a curiosity. There's a desire to test with difficult questions. Is this really real? Does this really work? How practical can this get? Is this glory able to make real life different, difficult questions? And she has all these difficult questions in her heart. And she has all this sense of the wonder and wisdom and fame and glory that she hears about from a distance. But it's just far away reports. She still has very difficult questions. Questions that come from her land and her place and her mind and her understandings. And she's got a load that she carries from her place. And a burden that she bears full of difficult questions based on real life situations, real confusing things, things that don't translate inside of her. And she cannot get those difficult questions answered. She cannot get relieved of that burden by staying in Sheba, where she is the queen and in control. She has to take a journey. She has to take a journey that's going to require her to go beyond the teachings and the reports and the fame and the wisdom that she's heard about, that she believes in, but not all the way, because she still has difficult questions that she wants to test this wisdom on. But she's hooked enough in her heart to be willing to load up the caravan and take a very long journey to see face to face this king. So she does that. She makes the journey. And remember that this woman, Jesus Christ, brought her up as an example to people that should have honored him and responded to him in a certain way and didn't. And she said that the Queen of Sheba stood to them as an example of what they should have been. So this Jesus Christ brought this little lady up when he walked as, the earth as Jesus of Nazareth. So she's coming to Jerusalem with her very large retinue. Camels carrying spices, difficult questions. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke to him about all that was in her heart. So we're in chapter 10, verse 2. And at this stage of the journey, she's made the decision to not just hear the teachings from afar and stay in control, but to come to the king and to see him face to face and to get it from within his presence, not just from the message. But the first thing that she does when she gets close enough to be in that realm, which is him, is to talk about everything that's in her heart. And you know what? Isn't that the truth for all of us? I speak of myself, but I believe it is human nature that when we finally get to Jesus in a certain way, it's about what's in our heart. And we waste time. We waste time in the presence of the Lord talking about what's in our hearts instead of getting so wallowed up with what is in his heart. But let's face it, we have difficult questions. We have situations. There's things we've been carrying all the journey, all the years, all the time. And here we are with him. And now we need to get it off our chest. And he lets us because he's Jesus. And he answered, verse 3, all of her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. So he's wonderful. And even in the way he tends to us when it's about us only, his love is there and we perceive something beyond the answers. We perceive something beyond the patience in which he one by one answered all her questions. We see, and she perceived, and it speaks of it here in verse 4, she perceived the wisdom of Solomon. She perceived something greater than answers to confusing situations. And, you know, she had teachings all along. She had messages and reports for years. But when she got in the presence of his person and he began speaking the things that she probably heard before from a distance, it was different. Because now she's being caught up in the person saying those words. In the presence of the king, it's no longer the things he's saying that are so preeminent, but the king himself. I mean, when you're in the presence of the most, we don't have a word in the human language to define the wonder, the awe, the glory of the being, the most glorious being of all existing entity and beyond. When we're in the presence of God, there's no way to define how that affects a human soul, a human being. From a distance, we think the answers are going to be what really makes the difference. If I get an answer to this, if I have some clarity on that, if I find a way through this difficult path, in fact, I'm going to test him to see if he would. I don't think there's a way out of this, but I'm going to test him when I get close enough, when I get his ear and I can look him in the eye and ask. I'm going to test him with these difficult questions. I need to know. I need answers. And we bring those up right away. She did, at least. But after a little while, in the presence of the king, of the glory of Jesus, of God, all of a sudden, I mean, it's like, hey, man, I thought these answers were going to be so amazing. And he answered them all. He said it right there in verse 3. He answered all the questions. He spoke with her about everything that was in her heart, and he answered all her questions. Verse 3, there's nothing that he didn't answer, nothing that was hid. And yet, how many times have we dreamed about, when I get an answer to this, I'm going to be okay. It's going to make the difference. It's going to break the chain. It's going to get me out of the cycle. It's going to be the breakthrough that I need. But when she got the answers, it was him that she perceived. It was the presence of the person. It's the presence of the person that excels in wisdom, that is greater than answers, that is beyond anything you could take back to Sheba with you and explain to the Shebites. I don't know what they're called. And say, it's just, I can't. When I was in his presence, everything paled. He, in his essence, in his being, in things I don't have words for, but the himness of him, the himness of him was the answer. In the light of his face, I saw clarity. In the shadow of his wings, I found peace. I don't know how to define that as a teaching or a message because it's a person. And you'll never know that until you make the journey to him. And in his presence, there's fullness. There's fullness and fulfillment and light. life, peace, all and in all in him. And I can only bring to you like the woman at the well, when she brought it back to her people, the Samaritans. I met a man. He knew everything about me. The people in Samaria said, I got to go see him. I need to go and meet him. And they did. The Samaritans came to Jesus, and he prolonged his journey in Samaria for days to minister, to be with the Samaritans because of the report of the woman at the well. And that's the difference. Someone can live their whole life hearing about this kingdom with this king that's far away, and have to live in a faraway land that they're in control of, that is governed by their mind. They're the queen, their mind, their understandings, their soul reigns supreme. And everything that they hear from this distance, whether it be through a sermon or a class or a book or a song or whatnot, whatever, scripture searching even, But doing it all from our own countries, it doesn't resonate. It doesn't translate. It doesn't take your heart and set it on fire. It doesn't draw your inner springs out of barren dryness into floods of living water. It doesn't turn you on where you've been dull and dead. Only one place can do that. That's in his presence, in his realm, in his place, in him. And it requires a journey of the heart to get there. Yes, we're spiritually seated, I believe. The Word of God says it. That settles it for me, that we are seated together in Christ in heavenly places. But the Word of God also defines a journey of entering into the wonder and awe and fullness of that place in our hearts. Paul prayed in Ephesians for the church, that the eyes of their understanding might be opened and unveiled and enlightened, that they might know the hope of their calling. They might know that there would be an unveiling and entering in to that, to see, to enter in, to know experientially in a way that exceeds knowledge. In the same letter, to know the height, to know the depth, to know the length, to know the width, to know until his fullness, to know the love of God that surpasses knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's going to leave you without questions, concerns. But look what it did to the Queen of Sheba. She could not retain her own spirit. Where is it? It's right down the pike here. Verse 5, there was no more spirit left in her when she beheld the fullness of his realm, you know, his house, his waiters, his, it says it in verse 4, verse 5. She couldn't even, not only retain her quest, she couldn't retain her spirit. And now that, to me, is just, and we're going to talk real simple here in a minute, but she couldn't retain her spirit. And that is something I feel the Lord wants to minister to me today. That there is somebody here, I just feel it in my spirit, that says, Lord, I'm not even dealing with difficult questions. I'm dealing with my spirit being so off from Jesus. I'm more like a beast than a lamb. My spirit is contrary. It wars with the lamb. It is not a sweet savor. It is odious. People I'm close to know it. I know it because I live in me. I'm me. And I don't know what to do with the spirit that I continue to retain past all the teachings, past all the classes, past all the ministry, past all that I even do in your name, Lord. The spirit in me is retained. There's no change deep within from my nature to the Lamb being my life, really manifesting in his attitudes, in his responses, in just this nature within that's quiet and peaceable, easy to be entreated, gentle, meek. That's Jesus, the Lamb within. Lord, where is his spirit in me? I've retained my own hard, dull, proud, haughty, you name it, bestial, whatever. But we all know there's some here that maybe have been crying out. I keep retaining my own spirit no matter how many teachings I listen to. Listen, the Queen of Sheba retained her own spirit too, and her difficult questions, and she was going to test him. But look at the Word of God. When she got in the presence of the king, she could not retain her own spirit. And all of her questions were answered, because that is what happens when we get in the realm of the real living person of Jesus, of God himself. We cannot retain our own spirit. Answers to questions that were never, ever able even to be touched are answered one by one in his presence. And the answer we perceive comes deeper than some laid out just definition or description of what to do, but in the person himself. Oh my Lord, she gave this king, King Solomon, more spices than anyone ever gave before or after. More spices. She couldn't retain her own spirit. She couldn't keep up that stench. She couldn't keep up that attitude. And out from her released, poured out spices. Maybe they signify a change that happened, an exchange from her stench to his savor, from her spirit that was off from the Lord and not the Lord to his spirit. That is the sweet savor of the Lamb who selflessly gives, aromatic, released in sacrifice. There was never such a release, a gift, a giving, a pouring of spices to the king as from this woman. She didn't have the answers. She didn't have the right spirit. She was laden down and burdened. She had heard all the teachings and they were not working. She still had the problems and the questions. She still had the wrong spirit. But she took a journey. And she didn't try to answer all the difficult questions on the way. Excuse me, persons of here. Excuse me, you know, school of prophets. Excuse me, person down the road, watchman at night. Can you tell me the answers to my difficult questions, counselors? I need help. I don't have the answers to those. Go to the king. He is the answer. And I keep retaining the spirit. I can't get rid of it. Everything I try, I keep deep inside. I know it's still me. And when push comes to shove, the beast comes out. The pride rises. The attitudes of self-preservation win the day. I know it. And it scares me. And I don't know what to do. What can I do? What message should I listen for? What can they send me from Jerusalem? You can't get anything from Jerusalem sent to you. You need to send yourself to Jerusalem. You need to send yourself to Jerusalem. Paul said, I waited 14 years before I went back to Jerusalem. This is the beginning of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 speaks of it. Because I saw the Lord. I didn't go to the ones who had seen him before me and ask them to tell me about Jesus. Tell me about the king. Answer my questions. What should I do? He saw, he went to the king. He didn't just go to the scriptures when he took those 3.5 years and sought the Lord when Paul did this. He went to the king. His heart was on a journey, not to the scriptures, not to teachings, not to the prophets before him, not to the guys in Jerusalem who had been with Jesus. He went straight to God, straight to the palace of the king. He entered into the holy place. His spirit went behind the veil, and God unveiled his son in him. He saw the Lord. And like Isaiah before him, he could not retain his own spirit. He said, it is no longer I. It is Christ who liveth in me. I couldn't retain my own spirit. When I went to the real Jerusalem, the one which is above, he speaks of this also in Galatians, I couldn't retain my spirit. The cross became real to me. It wasn't a teaching anymore, so much so that my nature is now different. And my difficult questions are answered but they're answered in a whole, in a way that no man could answer. I did not go up by man. I did not go up by teaching. I went up by revelation. I went up by oneness with God. I went up in the realm of the Spirit, and I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And then I went up to Jerusalem, the one on the earth, and found communion with those who had also been with the Lord himself and knew him face to face. The Lord said, teaching after teaching isn't going to do it. Getting answers and answers and answers won't ultimately answer. But seeing the Lord and pressing in and journeying until you get there, the simplicity of a heart that won't stop along the way and say, you know, I don't have an answer and it's so difficult. My spirit is so stench-like and I'm so hard to live with and I can't get past this and I don't know. I'm going to quit. It doesn't work. Doesn't work for me. I've been listening to the teachings in Sheba for 40 years. I've been doing ministry along the roads from Sheba for 20. And I'm still me. It's still me at the end of the day. And I still have these difficult questions. I quit. Well, that person could have said, forget it. I am not dealing with this bad spirit right now that is me in my old nature that still reigns supreme in Sheba. And I'm not going to try to answer these things because I cannot. I cannot, and the teachings don't touch them. So I'm not even going to deal with all that right now. I'm going to look at it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to get myself to Jerusalem, and I'm going to see the King. And when I see him, I know deep inside, deep in my heart of hearts, everything will be different. He will be the difference. And I will never be the same. And I will never be the same. So Lord, we pray right now. Lord, we need not teachings. We don't need ministry. We don't need answers and charts and things that we can figure out, but still be left with difficult questions that don't work out in real time, with a nature that still seeks to save and lifts itself up and goes the way of all flesh and is not a savor of Christ, but savors the things of this earth, Lord. We can't just continue. We don't want to fall into religion. We don't want to fake it. But we get stuck because we don't think it's going to work, and where else can we go? Lord, show us that journey straight into the holy place, the place that you opened up through your death, that veil is rent, and that your spirit will take us there as our heart turns away from all these things unto Jesus, unto the Lord, and that we will see you face to face and be changed from glory to glory into that same image by the Spirit of God. Lord, let the Queen of Sheba stand as a testimony to us. She did it. She took the journey. She beheld the one who was in their midst. She had a Solomon. It wasn't even Jesus. And she said, I'm going to go from my place and get in the realm of him so that I can be changed. Lord, we have you. A greater than Solomon is here in our hearts, in our lives, as our life. And we can go to him. He died so we can make this journey of the heart. Oh, Lord, it's simple. Forget about ourselves and get to the King. Forget about the answer. He'll be it. Get to the King. Don't try to fix that old nature. Get to the King and you won't be able to retain it. Paul couldn't. Isaiah couldn't. John couldn't. Nobody can. Jesus, you are that real. You are that wonderful. Your glory is that incredible. May we have one goal, to know you, to see you, to get with you. And may everything else just fall to the wayside and not distract us from keeping on till we get there. One step at a time. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.